Hi, welcome to the Roll Less Taken Campfire. I am joined this time by a group of new voices who I'm going to let introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Mickey. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm excited to play with Graham and friends.
Hi, I'm Em. I also use they, them pronouns, and I'm super excited to see where this campfire takes us.
Hey, all. I'm Chris. I was invited by Graham, Mickey, and Em to play this, so I'm kind of just along for the ride. My pronouns are whatever you care to call me.
And I'm Graham. I am using he and they pronouns, and I am excited to spook some people out, maybe. Get some spooky times. So we are playing a game called Sleepaway, which is by Jay Dragon and Possum Creek Games. It is built on the Belonging Outside Belonging system, which was originally made by Avery Alder, and I mostly want to mention that because she is one of my favorite game designers at the moment. And yeah, it's a really cool GM-less horror game. There's going to be, I imagine, some little bit of body horror, some cosmic horror, a lot of like scary monster stuff. Children might be endangered. It's possible some people are going to die. Just some heads up right at the beginning. But before we start, you know, that we're going to put together this really beautiful camp that we are all camp counselors in, which is the setting for the game. And we are being threatened constantly by a creature called the Lindworm, but that's a problem for, you know, tomorrow when the children arrive. We're kind of looking at the day before. we've got a list of things that we can add to the summer camp. Where do we want to put the field in the middle of camp?
I say right in the middle. maybe like a big circle?
Sure. I'm going to add a text box. And I will probably, I can post this on Twitter when it is done. Oh, wait. No, it's going to be a diamond because that's how those work, apparently.
That's okay.
Perfect.
All right.
You got our field.
Next thing we got to figure out is the lake.
I like the idea of like the lake being towards like the edge of the property. Like that it would kind of be a secluded, more secluded area.
That's kind of what I was thinking as well.
I like it.
If we got like a cardinal direction?
Yeah, maybe like northeast.
Like right here.
Perfect.
I'm going to make that a different color. Yeah.
Lakey.
So kind of.
Lake.
Oh, I'm doing purple again.
Ooh, lake.
Lake the lake. I like it.
Ooh, lake the lake. It's canon.
Fire pit.
Maybe to the south. Kind of like in the middle. I don't know. Like everything branches out.
South middle.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like that. I like that as a location.
I guess that's more wind.
For those like playing that. One.
Yeah.
I don't know why it defaults to purple every time I choose, like, change colors.
Mm. Roll 20 has a favorite color. It's purple.
Apparently. There, that's sort of a fire pit.
I love it.
My beautiful art.
Ooh, that's good, Graham. That's good.
Fire pit. And the oldest tree in the woods, and then the bunks are the last two things we got to figure out.
Do we want the bunks to be, like, near the lake or farther away from the lake?
That's a good question.
I imagine this world, I imagine, like, a lot of woods. So, like, what if all that green was, like, the woods?
Oh, yeah. So the whole, like, eastern edge kind of going up almost to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can put, like, the oldest tree in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, right... Oh, did you draw a dot, Mickey?
Not intentionally.
I do like that as a spot, though. Sort of.
Like a, oh no, right there. Like, kind of far back. All right. I figured out how to make it a circle, so I'm going to make it a circle.
All right.
Nope.
This reminds me of that. Did you ever play, like, there's this drawing game where you, like, you draw a piece of a picture? For a person, and then you fold over the paper and hand it to the next person.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've heard it called Exquisite Corpse.
Oh.
I don't
like
know
a game
why.
Where you just like add all these little body parts at a time, or
yeah.
A monster.
I'm like picturing the lake is like at the very edge, right? Like it's kind of off to the side. I'm going to draw a little dock right here.
Perfect. I was going to draw cabins. I do kind of like having them kind of near the lake, maybe in this like southern, southeastern corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are not of any uniform size, apparently.
I love it.
Checks out.
And maybe like one, like a little farther away.
I always think of them as cabins because the camp that I used to go to was had cabins.
Oh.
Yeah, like one down here, sort of near the fire pit.
Yep.
All right. So I've got sort of a rough layout of the camp. We've got sort of the woods on the east. We got a lake in the woods in the west. Oldest tree in the woods is sort of in the northwest corner. Lake is kind of northeast. And the bunks kind of occupy the rest of the eastern edge and the field kind of in the middle. Fire pit is around dead center south. So everybody chooses one from the list. And there's a whole bunch of stuff. I can read them aloud too. The nurse's cabin, the creek with the mud castles, the performing stage, the field everyone dreams about, the best stargazing field, the sneaking path, the hidden picnic bench, the petroglyph boulders, the swamp full of mosquitoes, the path covered in cairns, the mushroom log, the secret kissing grove, and the abandoned stone wall.
I just looked up cairns because I don't know that word, but it told me it's a transit hub in Queensland, New Zealand. What is a cairn?
I think it's like a stone.
Found something.
It is a mound of rough stones built as a memorial or landmark.
Okay.
It's like if you've seen, I don't know, in a movie where they like bury somebody under like a pit and then stack up a bunch of stones on top of the buried body. That's a cairn. I think they're often funerary, but not always.
I will draw in the sneaking path.
Ooh.
I like the creek with mud castles.
I thought I liked that one too. Go for it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, no. I I find it evocative. So I'm glad we have one, really.
I gotta go with my cairns because I learned a new word. Okay. And that's gonna be in the woods.
Oh, I'm making my sneaking path also in the woods.
A lot of good wood spooks.
Oh, do we draw them ourselves? Like,
yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Oh, Mickey, we're right on top of each other. I love it.
I think I'm going to go with the petroglyph boulders, because I like that one, too.
Ooh.
So, yeah. Petroglyphs are, like, a fancy word for, like cave art would be a petroglyph.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put those, up here in the sort of north. They're not exactly in the woods, but they're kind of next to the woods.
Our map got so full so fast. I love it.
And I do kind of like the idea that like a lot of the stuff that you, like the creatures you need to be aware of are probably somewhere on these boulders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sneaking path and the path covered in cairns could be the same path.
Oh yeah, like a path that diverges.
Yeah. Definitely
and I like that the path covered in cairns like goes off into nowhere off of our map. Like there's no set direction.
Okay. Into it.
All right. So as a group we get to choose. Oh, sorry, is everybody good on those guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool deal. So as a group we get to choose two from this list. Camp Cat, Courageous Leaders, A Culture of Honesty, Economic Prosperity, Minimal Camper Drama, Long Administrative Memory, Protected Property, Easy Access to Public Transportation, and Understanding Parents. I think these are things that we can just kind of list somewhere on the map, because they're not exactly locations or things you would necessarily put on a map.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're a kind of Camp Cat kind of group feel like we need a camp cat.
I am definitely on board with a camp cat.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Same.
We could give it a little home.
All right, so we definitely have a camp cat. Somebody want to put a spot on the map where the camp cat likes to sleep? Like their favorite sleeping spot?
Mickey, go for it.
I think this camp cat obviously loves all the campers. Also likes to take little naps away from the busyness. I'll make them black because we love black kitties. Maybe they go sleep in the petroglyph stones.
Ooh.
I like it. So I think, did anything else jump out the list at anybody?
I would say maybe not economic prosperity and not long administrative memory.
Okay. That one I like a little bit. I was thinking about that one because I was like, it could be useful for us to look up, like, you know, what happened the last time a camper went missing kind of thing. But I was like, it could be more interesting.
Oh, right. That's true. That's true.
I'm feeling like the understanding parents or the courageous leaders pop out to me.
Anything sort of grabbing your eye, Chris?
I was also curious about the understanding parents.
That one did kind of grab me as well.
I think we got it.
We do our best.
We love understanding parents.
I think, actually, that's a good, maybe a good question is, where do the parents, do the parents pick the kids up, or, and if so, where? Or is there like a bus, place where like the bus drops the campers off every day, that kind of thing?
I feel like that could go like down here near the bunks.
Okay.
Right? Like parent drop off.
That's like,
sorry. Is this the type of camp where kids come for the day and are picked up, or are they staying for a set period of time? Or
that's a good question, because I realized I was kind of implying something without actually saying it. But yeah, I think because the title of the game is Sleepaway, so presumably the campers sleep here. But the, I think the question I'm kind of asking is like, how do campers arrive and, you know, leave at the end of their period, like camping period?
It's a little parking lot.
Yeah, I like throwing it down there. It's a good spot.
Yeah, I'm going to write understanding parents. That's where the understanding parents go.
They're this big orange block.
You don't want to see where the not understanding parents go.
They have a special place.
So yeah, I think they, like either the kid, the parents or the bus, like, or both kind of come and drop the kids off there and stay for a week or two. And then at the end, everybody gets back on the bus or their parents' car. All right. If there's anything else, or if nobody has anything else, we can go on to the next list, which is each player detailing one. And the list is where the fire pit used to be, where the frogs used to sing, where the fairy houses used to be built, where the path used to go, where you used to sneak away to watch the sunrise, where you realized you weren't straight, where the oldest cabins are, where the witch was spotted, where kids kissed when you were young, where you confessed your childhood crush, and where the great battles of youth took place.
Each one is so juicy.
I know, right?
And of these ones that you pick, does it have to be an entirely separate entity on the map, or can it be a location that we've already denoted?
I'd say you could use one that already exists.
You know, when I was a camper,
mm-hmm.
We used to, you see the pier right there? It's all boarded up underneath. And that's because we used to kind of play this game where whoever could claim underneath the pier was the superior camper. Many a great battles took place, you know, camping out underneath the pier for days at a time with no food till you got too hungry and had to leave your station.
I love it. I like the fairy houses one. I'm just trying to figure out where they were once upon a time. I think there's a spot. I think it's not the oldest tree in the woods, but it's like a little bit north of it is where the fairy houses used to be built. And I don't think you can. I think kids you know, say claim they saw one, but really it's just like a really big mushroom or like a rock that had like a weird shape in it. But I think the houses are still out there, just nobody knows where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, I think my character, at least, I think, was really intrigued by that, but could never find them.
I would say that my character used to go past where you see on the map right now. The path used to go much, much further into the woods, but it does not go there anymore. I have memories of when I was younger, the camp was there, or the path was there, but now there is a big gate, so you cannot go there anymore.
Is that the cairn-covered path?
Yeah. This yellow gate, that's where the path used to go.
Cool.
I would say that right in the center of the field, like, my character and other campers might sneak out late at night and run into the center of the field and kind of set up a blanket and lie on their backs, and that's where they would watch the sunrise through the tall grass.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
All right. Those are really cool. I like those. I think the last thing we got to figure out is what happened last time. And this is, I'm assuming, the last time we were, you know, aware of the Lindworm's presence, perhaps. Although I don't necessarily think it has to be.
Mm.
It could always be, I'll read the list out. Half the camp danced into the lake and woke up freezing. Flayed animals roamed the woods. One of your friends died. The cops showed up and shut everything down. Each of you got a scar in the same place on your faces. Or no one remembers, it's been too long.
I was going to say, you know, the last time we were all here, the thing that caught my eyes the most was, well, it started with the squirrels. I looked up, and the squirrel, you saw the silhouette of the squirrel, but the tail was the first thing I really noticed that was wrong. Normally, they are big. They are big and fluffy, but it was skinny, and the color was all wrong. It was red, and it acted like nothing was wrong. So, yes, last time we were here, the flayed animals, they roamed the woods, and it was very intense.
The same thing.
Also the same thing, yes.
I mean, you can all say the same thing.
I mean, it was pretty terrifying. We have not forgotten it.
Mm.
Very disturbing.
Which, I don't know, what animals did everybody else see? Squirrels?
Strange one for me was actually the fish.
Mm.
I was out on the kayak, and I mean, you just assumed some predator ate a bunch of fish and left their bones. But the bones were still together and moving and strange. It was very, very odd.
I found it particularly disconcerting to look up from my walking trail and see galloping deer with entrails hanging out and no fur and dangling eyes. It was very terrifying.
Yeah. That would be. I think the one that I noticed that stuck out to me the most was almost the opposite. It was the bugs. It was, you know, spiders, but it definitely just looked like they were hollow and empty. There was nothing inside them, which was kind of terrifying as a moderate arachnophobe. It was really weird to see hollow and empty spiders just crawling around, setting up webs and catching hollow flies. So, you know.
Buzzing was different too, wasn't it?
It they definitely sounded different that year.
They buzzed at a different frequency. And the fact that none of the animals were distressed, they just continued the everyday things, that was something.
That made it weird. That made it real weird.
Fishing lost a lot of its draw.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I think we were all, a lot of us were vegetarian that summer.
Still am.
We've kind of a little bit dipped into it, but let's we can definitely talk about our characters now.
Okay. So I can share first, if you'd like.
Go for it.
My character is the athlete. My character has a name that can be used like a battering ram. My character's name is Achille. And Achille has burning eyes. They are deep coppers and brown. And a blade of a body. The gender of Achille is a lonely king. As far as pronouns, any pronouns are good for Achille. Childhood fear, with all of Achille's bones breaking. The contraband that Achille brought into this space was some brass knuckles. And the brass knuckles Achille has used growing up to defend herself from this fear of the body being broken. And it's proof to them that they are heroic, that they have the ability to rise above. Achille spends most of the year in France, but comes to the States to spend time with his father. And with that being said, most of the time that Achille spends in the state is at this camp. Achille sees the father on pickup and drop off from the camp. So in some ways, this camp is very important to Achille and other family.
Hi, I'm Sean. I use they, them pronouns. You know, you'll usually find me at the docks or the pier early in the mornings. My heavy eyes kind of look like I didn't really get enough sleep last night, usually tinged with purple. It's interesting. Sometimes the mist seems to hide just my head as you walk out onto the pier and you just see my long flowing body, indicating that my gender is more Dullahan than anything, coming from my Irish and Celtic family heritage. I once had a friend who was a camper. His name was Jonah, and we were really good friends, and Jonah never came back to camp. I don't really know what happened with him. When I was a camper, I used to really like brightly colored clothing and wore like bright reds and pinks and purples. And, you know, you usually catch me on the docks wearing like a gray jumper and some swim trunks, nothing too flashy. I do like being alive, living. Even though sometimes it may not seem like it. And in different situations, it seems like people want to spend time with me because I have different words of wisdom. I mean, you know, there's no fireplace like your own. And that's true of this camp. We all feel that way around our fire pit. And that's all my things.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Sean Guest comes to me speaking words of wisdom.
Yep. Maybe let it be.
So yeah, you're playing the Heron playbook, is that right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. I'm the Heron from the Uncanny expansion pack.
Yeah. Which is all about having seen some shit. It's kind of the pitch of the character, would you say?
Yes, having seen some shit.
Brilliant.
Cool. Do you want to go next, Chris, or shall I?
Yeah. Going to be a lot less fleshed out than that, but bravo, M, for putting effort into your character. Mine is the Fresh Blood. Thought that would be apt because I, the player, do not know what I'm doing here. So, my character has a common name. They are Sabrina Halliday. They use she or they pronouns, any pronouns really, but she pronouns mainly. And their look has earnest eyes and a body that's still figuring itself out. She's very kind of mousy. She tries to be loud. In her head, she's loud, but you might perceive her as being mousy. But she is doing her best. Gender is overflowing. And she's always had a childhood fear of transforming into a wolf. So it may see her cowering at the full moon or like avoiding it or pretending to act natural. Whatever that looks like. She has a natural talent for creative t-shirts and will never live down that she once got into a fight around the fire circle, which kind of marred her self-image as like the peacemaker in the group, whether anybody actually saw her as the peacemaker of the group or not. And yeah, that's what I have so far.
It's awesome.
Sabrina just radiates teenagehood.
Still working it out.
I love it.
Yep. All right. So I'm the last character. I am playing the lifeguard playbook, which is very much about defending people and self-sacrifice and stuff. And I chose for my name a name that's easy to yell, because I thought that would be very useful to have if you were a lifeguard. And the name is Jet, with two T's. Using Z-Zir pronouns, but they-them is cool too. Z has watchful eyes and is built like a wall. Zir gender is a lighthouse in the darkness. And usually you can find them wearing a gray hoodie, or green hoodie and gray shorts. The childhood fear is wolves that kidnap your friends. And my outside relationship is an old house that I think of as home. And what keeps me working here is the chance to save people.
Ah, so wholesome.
That's it. So now all of us have got some questions. This is similar to Apocalypse World, where we basically asked each other questions at the very beginning to kind of establish what our relationships are with each other. We can go in the same order. Do you want to go ahead and ask somebody a question, Mickey?
Absolutely. I am curious, Sabrina, when, you know, like, how did you perceive me when you saw me at my most vulnerable? What was that like? Like, what, maybe you remember I was crying down by the lake. You came up to me. It was the first day of camp many years ago. What was it like to see me like that?
I thought that you were so brave for being able to show your emotions so openly like that. Like, it just really inspired me and made me think that you're somebody who's so trustworthy that you would be able to show that side of yourself to me. Oh. I really cherish that memory.
That is so beautiful to me, Sabrina. Thank you. Thank you, Messi. Jet, I just, do I take care of you? And do you want me to take care of you?
That's a very good question. I think so. I think you do take care of me. And I think I am conflicted about it because I feel like I should be the one taking care of people. But deep down in my heart of hearts, I kind of like it.
I wanted to ask because sometimes I feel like I should take care of you, but I wasn't sure, so. Okay, very good. And then my character would just start fiddling with something in a pocket and kind of not make eye contact for a while. I love it. Those are my questions.
Lovely. I guess I'll go next. Well, Mickey, what is your character's name again?
Like Achilles, but without the S on the end.
It's Achilles. That's why. Okay. Achilles. Akili, what do we spend our time outside of camp doing together?
Well, what I like to do most with you is I like rowing. I find it is a good way to wake up my body. And I like how we don't talk. Everyone wants to talk a lot all the time. And so I like not talking with you. Together, not talking.
Silent mornings out on the lake. Love it. And Jet, do you remember what I showed you that night out on the lake?
I do. I don't remember what it is. Yeah, I think it was the spot where the catfish have built like a little, I don't know if they nest, but like that's kind of the spot that they go to for safety. And I think it's probably our theory, which is highly unconfirmed, is that it's where they kind of discovered they were safe from storms. A spot deep under the water, but it is, it's usually where we can see a catfish or two. And so we sometimes row on out there to check them out and see what they're doing.
I love it. Those are my questions.
We have some good ones that could make or break relationships here. So
those are the ones we need.
Gonna go good or evil?
One of each.
I had one in mind, but I'm thinking I might change it up. Nah, I'm gonna stick with it. Okay. Jet, I was just wondering, why do I still resent you after all these years?
Did I maybe save you from something you didn't want to be saved from? Like, you were, you had a situation where you wanted to, like, basically prove that you could do something. Maybe, like, swim out to the rock in the middle of the lake. And I kind of was like, well, shit, nobody's supposed to be doing that. So I swooped on out and saved you, but I, like, in doing so, kind of interrupted this, like, personal rite of passage for you.
Ooh, I really like that. You stole my moment from me. I was trying to prove that I could do it. Everybody thought that I couldn't do it, and I wanted to show them that I could, and then you swooped in and took all the glory. How could you do that?
Did I maybe beat you out there and then jump in to save you from the rock you were going to?
Just salt in the wound and everything. Just seeing you gets my blood boiling, and I didn't know I had a competitive side, but one day I'm going to beat you at something.
That's fair.
One day. And let's see. Sean, this is kind of embarrassing to ask, but I feel like we're both mature enough now. We're both counselors now, and I was just wondering, what made me stop having a one-sided crush on you?
It was probably because it was that one summer we came back and waited for Jonah to come back for like days. And you were always there and trying to comfort me and, like, I don't know, help. But really the only thing that helped was canoes and being out on the lake. And I think I was just so distant and really cold, actually. Really cold that summer that I think froze over your heart, too.
That's good. It's for the best. I clearly couldn't give you what you needed in your time of need.
Aww. Yeah. Oh. I'm like, oh no, Sean would be so uncomfortable. Yeah.
Mic drop.
Akili reaches more desperately into pockets that aren't even there now, just trying to avoid all of this.
Ooh, Sabrina.
That's a good question. My questions are, I think, John, how did I save you from metaphorically drowning?
Let's go with that same summer of change, or even like the summer after. Maybe I wasn't really feeling camp coming back that next year. We had all signed up to be camp counselors together, and I just was not feeling it. Falling into my hole of wondering what happened to Jonah, and wondering about death and fragility of life, and you reached out and kind of convinced me to come back.
With my words or with my presence?
Ooh, good question.
Or something else.
Oh, I feel like it was your presence.
Okay.
Yeah, like you came to see me and I liked being around you.
Oh, Sabrina, that must have been difficult.
I didn't notice.
right.
I'm honestly on the fence about these other two questions because they're both really good.
Can you ask both? Can we break the rule?
Ask both.
I could ask both. One of them is, are you still in love with me? And the other is, when is the last time we fought? And it's possible that they could both have a very similar answer. And I feel like the dynamic doesn't quite feel right with Sabrina because we've already kind of got that like competitive slight animosity thing going on. So it does kind of feel natural to go to Akili. So I guess, I don't know which one feels right, or do they both feel right?
I'm sorry. What was the question?
Are you still in love with me? And when's the last time we fought?
Bright red flushes across Achilles' face. love is complicated. There's a lot of pieces and parts, and I mean, I love well, yes, but I don't know who it will help. I mean, yes, I'm still in love with you, but does that? I don't know if that helps anything or if that hurts something. What why are you asking me this, Jet? Of course, I mean, the last time we're fighting now, I guess, because you put me in this position, and I don't know how you feel. You know how I feel. You have known for a very long time, and I don't. Yes. And then Achilles gonna like get up, and I need the outside. I need some air, and then like walk outside on the. Imagining like a little porch and you just see a pacing on the front of the porch.
All right. Those are some good questions.
This is a love story I'm ready for.
Play to find out. I do love that like one of the sort of objectives for the first kind of act, quote unquote, of the game is to help everybody fall in love with the characters. And then we're basically going to spend the rest of the game just doing terrible things to each other and through the Lindor.
I love it. I know.
I figured I'd spend a minute just kind of quickly explaining, like, for anybody who's not familiar with Belonging Outside Belonging games, how these work. Basically, all of us have got a character, and we've also got what's called a setting element, which is like a theme or a concept or an idea that we all kind of control. One each of those, and then as a group we kind of go through, like, probably in a circle, we'll set scenes, we'll do stuff like that. During scenes we can either bring in our setting element or we can have our character make one of three kinds of moves, which are strong, regular, or weak. To make a weak move, that usually puts us in a weird spot, but we get a token as a result. A strong move puts us in a strong spot, but we have to spend a token, and regular moves are things that we can do whenever. And each of us has kind of got a list of those individually. We also have something called a lure, which means every time that somebody comes to us for a reason, like mine says, every time somebody asks for your help to stay afloat, they gain a token. So that's very simply how it works. We're also going to channel the Lindworm, which is through a deck of cards and a table in the book. Every couple of scenes or so, we'll just kind of figure out what the Lindworm is doing. And I am sure that will go very nicely. Some of the prompts are actually not bad, but a lot of them are pretty frightening. I have got a little campfire story. I'm kind of imagining, like, the scene is we've kind of throughout the day we've had these conversations, kind of established our relationships, and then, or reestablished and reconfirmed our relationships. And then also, like, went through, made sure the camp was good, made sure the fire pit was, you know, up to code, cleared out the sneaking path and all that kind of stuff. And now we're kind of sitting down at the end of the day. You know, we've got a fire. The campers don't arrive till tomorrow.
Achille will sit down with his back to, like, I'm imagining a wall or kind of like, you know, maybe a cabin backing. And then you would notice is looking towards Jet as Jet is telling the story, and also has a baseball bat at the ready and looking kind of on guard.
Yeah. What are the other two of you doing?
I'm probably sitting kind of like across the fire, looking towards the lake, watching the mist kind of move around on the lake surface. Kind of paying attention to the story, but seems like my mind's somewhere else.
Sabrina would be sitting nearest to Achille, not like super close. They don't know how close they're allowed at this point, but like close enough that they feel comfortable being next to Achille. And they're kind of just playing with their hands in their lap, interested in the story, but not quite confident enough to make eye contact with Jet right now.
That's fair. So yeah, I think we've had like a s'more each, and we're kind of like just, you know, sitting there sipping water and then kind of, you know, maybe swapping a couple of non-spooky stories, and then Jack kind of like gets all serious and kind of stares into the fire and just goes. Several years ago, a camper went missing. After all the good little campers had gone to bed, there was one camper who didn't. Their friend had been missing since dusk. The bunk above them was empty. While the counselors continued to search, our camper knew of some places where their best friend might be hiding. They snuck out after lights out and wandered down to the water's edge, peering out into the depths where their friend had told them the Hellbender Queen keeps the true stars. While they sat, the stones whispered about a time when the shapes in the sky looked different. Their friend was not there. They headed up past the snack shack, past the fire pit, past the nurse's cabin, to the top of the hill where their most creative friend had said, "If you were still enough, you could hear the slumbering beast breathing." They heard their own breath in the stillness of the cabins. Their friend was not there. From there, the camper started walking out towards the sneaking path. But late at night in these woods, where you're going and where you end up aren't always the same. Before long, the camper was lost. The woods were dark and deep. To their left, a wolf howled. Things with too many eyes peered out at them from the darkness. To their right, paper-thin hares turned tail and hid behind a cairn. Their friend was not here either. Ahead, a large squat boulder blocked their path. As the camper walked towards it, they realized it was not a boulder, but a statue. It was the shape of a suit of armor, made of stone, with moth-eaten and moss-covered cloak around its shoulder. The sound of rushing water came from within. As the camper watched, it drew itself up to full height and walked towards them. The camper froze in fear. The hulking suit strode closer and then passed by, going around them, the nearby grasses barely disturbed by its footsteps. Full of enough adventure for one night, the camper turned around and headed back toward the path they'd come. But had they come from the right fork or the left? They took the wrong path back. It doesn't matter which one was wrong. What mattered were the claw marks on the trees, starting by their knees and going high above their head. What mattered was the entombing silence of the forest. What mattered was that the many eyes had been replaced by just two. What mattered was that the camper recognized those eyes. Their missing friend stepped into the pool of moonlight, smiling with too many teeth, reaching for them with fingers like twigs, speaking with a borrowed voice. The camper remembered that their friend had told them about the lindworm. It was already too late. The camper knew that, but they ran anyway. They dashed past the sneaking path, past the cairns, and past the paper-thin hares. The crashing noises behind them grew distant, so they risked a glimpse. To their surprise, they saw that stone knight blocking the path between them and the lindworm. They continued running, back past the sneaking path, past the nurse's cabin. They kept running, back past the fire pit, past the nurse's cabin, past the field. They didn't stop running until their cabin was in sight. They climbed back into bed, and they told no one about this. Until tonight.
Ellie leans forward gets up and puts his jacket kind of around, like without even touching Jet, just kind of drops it and then sits down next to Jet.
So you lost someone too, Jet?
Yeah. I think it was this, I mean, it was the same year as Jonah went missing, if I remember.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Tom?
Mm-hmm. They said he just went home sick.
Yeah. You know how the parents can be.
Understanding. I mean, I don't know if we're allowed to take moves during this campfire story, but...
Go for it.
One of Sean's moves is to shut down their emotions as a weak move.
Because
it's bringing back a lot of Jonah emotions. So they like slump down, kind of sit a little deeper in their chair and kind of stop talking. And I'll take a token.
Yeah, go for it. Anyway, I figured that it'd be good for us to at least mention that that's a thing that can happen out here.
I mean, I think we all knew it. Something like it. Jet, Jet, I'm sorry, you never said anything.
I didn't know, honestly. I thought it would have been a nightmare for years afterward.
I'm glad you told us.
It sounds like a nightmare.
It was a little bit of both.
Do you need anything?
No, I think I need us to not have anybody disappear this year. It's probably the best thing for all of us, right?
Very good. Achille puts out their hands closer to the fire.
I imagine the camp cat is like wandered over and is kind of lying down next to the fire. I'm a little bit picturing that this cat is also like old and was around when we were campers too. It's the same cat. when we were campers, the counselors talked about how the old cat was there and was the same cat then.
Well, seeing as everybody has known this cat for some time, it's kind of a source of comfort, especially in scary situations like this. And so Sabrina's going to get up from her spot in her seat. She's going to go kind of closer to the fire, kind of scoop the cat closer to herself, kind of stroke it.
Cat gives an extra loud purr. Having that animal intuition that it's needed and the cat needs you too.
I am good with that scene. Did anybody else want to do anything?
It was beautiful.
So beautiful.
All right.
I have a quick question. Weren't at some point we were supposed to read our lures aloud, or do we just want to like go like on our own time, check everybody's lure like outside of
this? Oh, no, that's a very good idea. Let's do that.
Like we could tell our lures and then do like a scene?
Sure.
This game is so much fun.
I know.
I love it.
Drama!
I love how like it's wholesome, it's drama, it's like all this interpersonal stuff, and we haven't even introduced monsters yet, really. Alright. So let's read our lures out. I mentioned mine earlier. It is every time someone asks for your help to stay afloat, they gain a token.
Mine is for Achille. Every time somebody respects Achille's autonomy, they get a token.
Sean's is every time someone crosses a threshold with my invitation, they get a token.
Sabrina's is every time someone acknowledges what they can learn from you, they get a token.
All right. And yeah, what are we thinking for the next scene? Anybody have a pitch?
I'm pretty open.
My gut says we could do like, you know, following morning, the day as the campers are arriving, something around like, you know, kind of the chaos of getting everybody organized into two cabins.
Love it.
I don't have anything more specific than that.
What's the age range for our campers?
That's a very good question. I've been imagining like in the sort of like, say like 8 to 13 kind of range. Is that an age when people would actually allow children to go to camp overnight?
I think so.
Yeah. What is it, 8? Fourth grade? Third grade?
I think third? Or... Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have children. I am a cat dad.
It's like third grade to... You like middle school age, so like 13, 14?
Yeah, in that neck of the woods.
Weird adolescence.
And then we're imagining our characters are like camp counselors, so they're probably like 17-ish, later high school.
I was going to say like late early 20s would be kind of my thinking. The oldest of us is probably like 18, 19, 20.
Oh, okay. Great.
But 17 is definitely on the table.
No, I like the 20s range. Cool.
I was kind of gravitating towards late teens, early 20s. I imagine my character's still like just leaving that they're in their late adolescence.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now that it's an option, I like the idea that my character could be like maybe 22 or so. Like
I'm going to go with 20. Maybe like middle of the group.
I think I will go middle of the road and go like 21.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'll be the baby. I'll be 18.
Okay.
Oh, which is going to be even better for when your character is, people are acknowledging what they can learn from Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling connected with this scene. So I wouldn't mind picking it up.
Go for it.
It's the next day after the kind of spooky story and revelation about Jet and your past. But it's time now for the counselors to rally and go forth with this next camp group. The parents are kind of rolling in. Some buses, maybe dropping off some kids. Kids are really excited. The energy's high. Maybe a few of them are sad to leave their parents. You kind of get that energy from some. And then there's something where we can, for each camper. So I'm picturing everyone's kind of going to play a camper at this point.
Yeah.
You choose 2 genders from this list, and it's like 1 from each column.
Awesome.
Column 1, you have masculine, feminine, full, empty, open, closed, ajar, adjacent, crossing past, above, below, in between, overflowing, and vacant. So you pick 1 from that list.
I think this is a good idea because you do definitely need some campers on the board.
Yeah.
Just 1 or 1 set?
So you pick 1 from that column. Then there's a second column that you pick a second one from. And that's for each camper.
Are we creating a set number of campers? Are each of us making a camper right now? What is happening?
I think, yeah, we could each make a camper.
Each make a camper, but there's probably... more than just 4 campers here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's a good amount of campers if we're like the 4 main camp counselors?
20?
20?
I'd say 20 is probably good.
Yeah. 5 campers kind of per.
Yeah. I figure that there probably are some other camp counselors and there are probably some other like campers beyond this group, but these are the ones that we're concerned about and these are the ones that like we, you know, and you 3 are the ones that I most like interact with because the way our schedules work out and stuff. And because we probably all know each other from the past.
Yeah. Perfect. Anybody want to make a camper?
I was going to go. Do you want to read out that other list? I'm going to go to my random name generator.
Yeah. And then the second column for genders, kind of to coincide with the first list, is cicada, fox, eagle, pillbug, worm, faux wolf, dragon, robin, coyote, lion, moth, butterfly, and tree.
Okay, got a name. Robin Emmerich, who I think, from my random name generator, I think is kind of a in between cicada feels right. I think I will give them, I think they're going to use they, them pronouns at camp this year. I think they've been here before, but they used a different set last year.
Cool. I just imagine the camp counselors taking that in stride, like, oh yeah, Robin, they are so awesome. And kind of hoping to make Robin feel welcome.
Is what you hear from Sid. Sid is an overflowing cicada and is just the hottest of hot messes, melting into the ground, holding on to parents, like just like an arm around each parent, kicking, like really over the top stuff.
I can't, no, don't go.
And Sid will use he, him pronouns.
Sean will walk up. Sid, there is strength in unity. We're better together.
So stay! Stay! Well, you could stay too! Sid looks up at his parents.
With our group, we are better together. I'll make a count for two, I guess, if I can.
Go for it, yeah.
This will be Allie. Allie is one of the older kids, kind of coming into preteen age. You see her, like, kind of just like, curtly, bye, love you, and close the door on her parents. walks, like, all the way up to Sabrina and is like, so what are we doing today? I don't know. But yeah, Allie is, she is closed coyote, kind of controlling the scene, very outspoken, and she's going to use she, her pronouns.
Allie's like forwardness, Sabrina's going to kind of like jump like, oh wow, a camper's approaching me, this is like my first day ever, and a camper's come and said something to me, and I'm completely unprepared, and she's going to look around and be like, oh, we're going to get you all settled into your cabins, and I'm sure the other counselors have some really fun stuff planned. It's going to be great. Just kind of like a half-hearted smile and thumbs up, trying to be peppy like she remembered in training.
I like you. And then she's just going to walk away.
Yeah, kind of like brush the hair out of her one visible eye and be like, yeah, nailed it.
Just do a good start.
I would go ahead and create a camper just so we have a nice floor to get started with. And gosh darn, I forgot to pick a name. This is going to be Zach. That's the first name that just popped into my head.
Love it.
Nice.
Zach is an empty butterfly. And you see them kind of just saunter over. You don't even know which car he came from or they came from. And they just kind of walk over. And as they're walking over, they're like holding out a fist to fist bump all the other campers that they're passing and also the counselors. Just kind of like giving a nod and a fist bump to everybody. Like they've been here before, they know the ropes, they know where they're supposed to be. Just waiting for the next one. And they will use they, them pronouns or he, him. And yeah, you will find out this camper's kind of mysterious. Have you met them before?
No, Sabrina hasn't, so I can't give you any details about them. But
I do kind of like this notion that like everybody kind of knows Zach, but nobody knows where Zach came from.
Exactly.
What an empty butterfly. That makes so much sense.
Yep. I think Jet has been like handing out t-shirts and like like packet doesn't feel like the right word, but like cabin assignments and like kind of giving people directions on like where to go, which cabins to find, all that jazz. Kind of man in that table.
Achille is out in the field and has a baseball bat, even though Achille is instructing all of the campers in a game of capture the flag. Don't know why the baseball bat is there, but Achille is swinging it very skillfully and like playing with it. And just you just hear like, no, do not tackle so hard. Yes, you. Tackle Lessard.
It's full contact, capture the flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. With, like, the vacant supervision of a 22-year-old.
Yeah. I imagine, like, one of the campers is already hitting a little too hard when it comes to tackling, and a mini disagreement kind of breaks out. And Keely's like...
And then Achilles' sudden imposingness puts an end to it.
Yeah.
Is it Allie? Is Allie getting a little too rambunctious?
Oh, probably. Allie's probably made the her way straight to the bunk and is like looking around at some of the campers that are here. Maybe Robin is in the same a bunk house as her. Okay, so I addressing everybody, I like to go to bed by 10, and no scary stories when we go to sleep.
Setting the boundaries early.
Yeah.
At this point, like, almost all of the parents have gone, and Sid has taken his own steps towards independence by now just squeezing both of his parents' hands instead of the floor groveling. And is just kind of, like, taking them around to, like, the cabin. Everything all the other campers are doing, like, alone, Sid is pulling his parents with him.
But yeah, at this, Sabrina's gonna kind of, like, notice them, go to the nearest unoccupied counselor, and just kind of... Well, the nearest unoccupied counselor is Jet, but then they kind of, like, shake their head and, like, go find Sean. And they're, like, kind of trying to... inconspicuously point at Sid and be like, is he allowed to bring his parents with him? Are the parents able to stay?
No, they're not. I guess under the shelter of each other, people survive, but I guess, do you want me to deal with that?
No.
Okay.
I can do it.
Do you want me to come with you?
Yes, but, like, could you, like, be a few feet behind? Maybe don't make it look like you're with me.
And Sean will, like, pull out, like, one of the camp counselor, like, handbooks, and, like, they'll just begin to read it and, like, follow you kind of behind.
Okay, Sabrina's gonna kind of, like, straight. She's always kind of have, like, a teeny tiny hunch. You might see her, like, randomly out of nowhere straighten up, like she's mentally reminding herself to straighten up, and this is one of those times. She just kind of straightens up and walks over to the parents, and Sid, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sid was crying and kicking. And she's gonna kind of crouch down to his level, and then quickly remember you're not supposed to crouch at kids because that's kind of demeaning. She's gonna stand up straight again, and the parents are kind of looking at her like, what is this? But she's gonna be like, hey kiddo, what's your name?
I'm Sid, but you can't make them leave.
Sid. Oh, I'm not here to make them leave. She's gonna kind of look back at Sean and see that they are out of, like, they're doing what she asked her to do. And she's like, darn it. And she turns back around to the parents. It's like, I'm not going to make them leave, but what if you made them leave?
What do you mean?
That sounds fun. Like, because here at camp, you, the campers, have so much power. Like, you can make any day whatever you want it to be. Don't you want to go play with all the other kids? Like, parents, they might not understand your games or your rules. Like, you get to make the rules here.
What if my balance is, I mean, what if my breakfast isn't nutritionally balanced? Because my mommy always makes sure that there's enough of vitamins, and I don't know how to balance my own vitamins.
We can teach you. See, this is a great example. You have so much autonomy here. Like, we can go into the mess hall, and I think we can talk to the food people, and we can make that meal nutritionally balanced. You decide.
Okay, but do you know where my eczema cream is? And then
And then she looks to the mom and she's like, where's the eczema?
It's in the top zipper of the bag.
I know exactly where the eczema cream is, and I'll show you, and then you're gonna take charge, and you'll know where it is, and you can access it whenever you need to.
And Popo, you know where Popo is?
Looks up at the parents.
The polar bear. The stuffed polar bear in the bottom zipper. The mom, like, it's just...
Yes. Yes. Popo is here, too. And with Popo and your power, we can make your parents... go, and we can learn how to be independent and make our own meals and get our own eczema cream and have so much fun.
And, the parents are very supportive of Sabrina's plan. And then the dad looks at you and says, maybe you could have Sid look in his bag right now. You'd need two hands to open the zipper. But I think you could do it, Sid, to see where the eczema cream is.
That is such a good idea. Sid, what if we look in your bag and then you see that everything you need is there and then we don't need mom and dad here anymore?
Okay, that's a good plan. Okay, I'll do it. And then, like, Sid will also look back at his parents and be like, but if I run out of eczema cream, you have to bring me more.
And Sabrina kind of like at the parents like, we'll call you.
Okay, very good. The parents each give Sid a kiss on the cheek. Be wholesome. And then as you're engaged with Sid, they walk away.
Awesome. See, that wasn't so bad. And she like kind of holds out unsure of herself, like for a high five. Like kids like high fives, right?
Sid will very cautiously high five.
And she's like, yes, nailed it.
And then hand sanitize afterwards.
Oh. Kind of looks at her hands like...
Do you know that there are four types of ticks in this area?
No, I did not know that. You sound like you have so much to share.
We're going to have to do tick checks after being in that field. It's best to wear long sleeves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She kind of just like a little reserved sigh, but... Sid can't hear it.
John's gonna, like, come up and, like, you know, like, pat Sabrina on the back. It's like, good job. He was a handful last year. That was, quite something.
This should kind of, the hunch comes back as she sighs out, like, thank you. Thank you so much for helping.
No, thank I you. Really, I really learned something back there from you.
Aww. Here's your token.
I was just gaming the system here.
That was so beautiful.
That was really
Sid
good.
Sid is now like in the camp. You see, like Sid is setting up a mosquito net around his bunk bed.
Sid is me if I were ever a child that went to camp. I fully accept and acknowledge this.
I love that so much.
Just for funsies, I drew some cards to like see what the options were, and I got one that I kind of really like, which is campers have started playing with animal bones. Who? And the other, like there's a theme and then there's like a question, and the theme is like mistakes and manipulation. So I do kind of like the notion that like somebody's just picked up some animal bones and are now playing with them. Or having this like very wholesome moment with Sid and his parents.
Ooh, I feel like that would be a good thing for like maybe after Jet is done like assigning things, you're like walking around, maybe checking in on Akili and like at the edge of the woods.
Yeah,
kids are like,
I like that. Oh, like I've checked all the names off my clipboard and everybody's here. Who's gonna be here? I'm just kind of, yeah, doing my rounds. And yeah, I think, Akili, where do I find you?
Akili is still very coolly throwing the baseball bat up in the air, doing tricks, and then intermittently assigning breaks when the capture the flag gets too violent. Tell a kid to like sit on the sidelines. This is enough of you. I told you about that. Get. And then, like, maybe that's the accumulation of how the kids start, like, going by the edge of the forest as Achille just keeps kicking kids out of the game. And they end up over there.
I like that. So, yeah, I kind of wander on over, and I'm just like, I think I, like, see you, and then I just kind of go over to the kids, and I'm like, hey, hey, gang, what's going on down here? And who's there? I think maybe Robin is there, and... Mm-hmm. Maybe Robin and Zach are among that group, question mark?
Sounds like something Zach would get into immediately.
And I'm just kind of like, so I'm like, hey, what's going on over here? What do we got? What did we find?
Just some bones, you know.
Bones?
Thought they were really cool.
Can I see?
They hold up, like, animal anatomy time. A femur of some sort.
Ooh.
Like a really long one.
Is it just, it's just the bone? There's nothing on it?
Let's see. I feel like maybe the kids would be freaked out if there were still, like, tendons and meat attached. Maybe these are pretty picked clean bones, so that it looks kind of harmless.
Okay.
So that kid might go, oh, cool.
Huh. That's a little weird. Where'd you find these?
There's, like, this ditch over there, you know? It was just out in the open. I swear I didn't kill anything, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm just, you know, wondering who needs to, whether we gotta go wash our hands or, like, you know, got it. We don't know where that came from. I definitely wash your hands before you eat.
Yeah. I got it.
No, you guys are cool. So, wanders over to, like, check out where the bones came from. What's over there? What do I find?
I'd say this ditch that Zach described is actually more of like a footprint. Don't know what shape. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Oblong, weird. You might think it's a footprint. You don't know.
Right. What.
And there's kind of bones in it. Some just like sitting on top of the soil. Some maybe like sticking out. If you, like, dug a bit more, you see what looks like there's maybe more bones. Nothing fresh.
How many critters are we talking?
At least two.
Okay.
At least two. This isn't a mass grave, but they were big. Maybe deer?
Okay.
Maybe deer.
I was going to say, all of a sudden, Allie pops up behind you and goes, oh, were those the missing kids' bones?
I don't think they're kids. I think those are, I don't know, it's the wrong shape for kids, based on the anatomy class I took last year. Probably some sort of, maybe, it's an animal of some kind, it's got the four legs, pretty big, maybe a deer, could be a real big raccoon, but I'm thinking deer.
And Zach found them. Interesting! And then walks off again.
You kind of see Zach, like, who's behind you, kind of walk past, and they look over. And then they look back at the femur that they're kind of like playing with and admiring.
All right. And I kind of like wave to Achille and I'm like, can you come here a sec?
Looks to like kids who are just tackling each other in a pile. Oui. Yeah. I'm coming over. Mm-hmm. How can I help?
Do you think we should clean this up? Maybe like a health hazard kind of situation? I don't know, just worried about...
I mean, it is, Jet, you were just going to let them play with the bones?
I mean, the horse is kind of already bolted on that one.
What was your plan? What are you asking?
I'm saying, should we get rid of the rest of them so we don't have anybody else with these bones here?
We should. But you know, we have all these kids, I guess, now that they're already in it. Excavation project? I could get a trash bag. We have them put the bones in the trash bag and just wash their hands, make sure nobody touches our face, and we're probably fine.
That sounds about right. It sounds like a...
Okay, I'll be right back.
Cool. Kind of guard the area for a minute to make sure nobody else comes along.
Comes back with a couple, like, trash bags. Okay, children! This is an excavation project. The first person who gets the most bones in their bag wins my respect. Go!
But, like, what is your respect to get me? You hear Zach pipe up, like, kind of waving the femur around, like, using it as a pointer at this point. He's very touched.
You've previously never had my respect. You will know what it is like if you get the most bones.
Right. And they're kind of like finger guns, and they're just going to walk off with the femur like over their shoulder, just leaves.
What is wrong with these children? I gave them a great opportunity, a very good game. Jets, do you think I have done something? Is this not?
No, I think the like, you know, archaeology project is a good idea. It's just I think they wanted something tangible, like a ticket to the snack shack or something.
Oh, Killy just rolls his eyes. I mean, I only respect like 5 people here. That would have made it 6. I thought this was a good deal. Okay.
No, I'll put up a snack shack ticket.
Suddenly the interest doubles. Everyone who, like, as word gets out, everyone who had been playing the Capture the Flag game, that devolved into a heap of, like, kiddos. Just like, the pig pile unpiles itself. Everyone comes running over.
All right,
no, don't put that in your mouth. Put it in the bag. Yeah. Put it in the bag. No, not your mouth. I see you.
Don't forget to wash your hands after. Definitely wash them good. 20 seconds, do the ABCs.
Yes. Go to Sabrina. Go to Sabrina.
All right. Cool. And yeah, I think that's where they leave them. Cleaning up the bones. Cool.
What do you do with the bone bag or bags?
I think I just huck it in the trash and try to, like, you know, I don't think it's something that we need to bother too many of the other counselors with. It's not like a big deal. It's a little bit weird, but, like, you know, weird shit happens here at this camp. So yeah, huck it in a dumpster and hope that not too many critters get into the dumpster.
I'm going to go find, Achille is going to go find Zach.
And try to get the femur back.
Oh, where does Achille find Zach?
You find Zach at the fire pit, kind of poking at the ash from the night before with it, maybe drawing some pictures.
Hello, child. Kid, how old are you?
So, how old are you? Like 40?
Yes, I am 40 years old.
What do your parents see?
I want to apologize. I think there might have been a bit of a, you know, I of course I respect all people, but like I would have really respected whoever got the most bones. Is all I'm saying.
That's fine. At this point, you notice they have not looked up at you once. They're just kind of still digging around in the dirt. They're like, that's cool, but I just want this one right here.
You really want this bone?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to keep it. You seem cool. You seem like you'll let me keep it, right?
Okay, here's the thing. I make a deal with you. You can keep...
And then they look.
There's lots of diseases that can be on these bones. Not so good for your health. There's an old pig trough where they used to drink the water. We got some bleach in the cabin. What if we bleach the bone, make it nice white, and then you can keep it. I just don't want you getting anything weird in your system.
Fair. That's fair. As long as I get to keep it. All the other kids are going to be so jealous.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty sweet leg thing.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe that's its neck. Like maybe it's got a really long neck.
You know? That. Yes, probably a long neck. Okay, you want to come with me? I need help with the bleach buckets.
Yeah, sure. They kind of like drag it along behind them. They're short. Zach is short. The bone reaches the ground when they drag it behind them.
And you just see this like, Achille can be not so emotional or kind, but kind of through these actions, just really trying to help out this kid who just wants to keep a big femur. I imagine they like pour like a bleach and water solution in the bone in like the trough and let it sit.
Yes. Cool. That was awesome. I am very much looking forward to making all of these characters very miserable.
Thank you for listening to the Roll Less Taken Campfire. You have been listening to Chris as Sabrina, M as Sean, Mickey as Achille, and Graham as Jet. We are playing Sleepaway by Jay Dragon of Possum Creek Games with some elements from the Uncanny expansion, also by Jay Dragon. If you want more information on these games, you can find that information in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter at RoleLessTaken, Instagram at TheRoleLessTaken, and Facebook as TheRoleLessTaken. That's role with an E. Please rate and review us on Podchaser and iTunes. Also, please tell your friends about this amazing role-playing show. Tune in for our next episode. Thank you for listening, and remember to stay spooky.